Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436-580-KIDO. That's our number. You know, Jim shot an email, and I'll deal with that here in a little bit. But I think that as we think about this, let's call this 20 minutes here. As we think about that, I want to recall 23 as we set up some thoughts about 24 in the second hour. And some of these thoughts come because, honestly, we get calls, we get dialogue all the time. And you see and you read things all the time. And even the Wall Street Journal, as brilliant as it is, the minds, the editorial directors of that are clearly brilliant. It's not even close to the next best paper. I don't even know that there is one I could read. If there is, somebody has an idea, that's great. This is really good stuff. And still, as you think about it, it's always that day-to-day that just gets in the way of any real thought. You know, headlines like old people are, they use better words than I am, right? To not make everybody mad, but older folks are investing like young, gunslingers. Like, really? Is that right? Okay, so in their mind, as we get more experienced, we understand that markets fluctuate as a perfectly normal, natural part of life, and that they're better than anything else in the world. We actually should have been putting money in cash, earning next to nothing, because that's what the rules said. As we get older, we need to make sure we get the worst investments, and we put more money into the worst investments, because, gosh, we can't have stocks fluctuate when you're 75 years old. Absurd. Absolutely absurd. I think that people aren't becoming crazier. I think they're becoming more intelligent. They recognize after 40 years or 50 years of investing that you should just probably own stocks for the rest of your life. It works better than anything else. Period. Done thinking about it. So that's even they play to this current, I got to come up with news today. I've got to talk about what's on fire in the world this millisecond. You think, well, Dave, that's what news is. No, it's not. It doesn't have to be hyperbolic about this and that, and why are people crazily doing things like owning stocks and all of those things. It's a little bit much. It's a lot much. But in spite of all that noise that comes at us, it is possible to have a, if you will, a longer-term perspective. But Wall Street doesn't deliver that. It doesn't work. So we had a Zoom meeting yesterday for our clients, and they somehow changed it so you can only have 100 people on and everybody else is kicked off. And for those listening that got kicked off or couldn't get in, is a better way of phrasing it. We will be sending a link out as soon as we get it downloaded, okay? It'll be out next week, so. But I knew the timing was right for it, okay? Because we just needed to do one. And there's other reasons. People are very, very concerned with what's going on in the world, right? And we have it's the December doomsday reports are all coming out now, right? It's like doomsday dent is out now. That's the some guy that's wrote books 25, 30 years ago. They were never correct. They were way too optimistic. Then he became the pessimist that never left and just became this. Oh, that's how you sell. You become really negative. That's who he became. Everybody made fun of me when I was too optimistic. And my book of Dow 40,000 or whatever, 30 years ago, didn't really work out real well. So let me shift and I'll become the always doom Harry Dent. And I'm literally getting emails and stuff. And so it's that time of year. We couple with Wall Street trying to make their guesses. And I have to stop and go, wait, here was 23. If you want, I can tell you how 22 was absurd, 21, 20. But it's so recent, it really helps to just kind of go back and then to say, okay, what was Wall Street saying at the beginning of 23? You can't own tech stocks. The market was going to go down. And we were going to have a recession for absolutely sure. It was 180 degrees the opposite. When we make predictions that are that certain, you have to say, well, they were wrong. Yes, but it's more important than that. When we allow time for this to rest with us, when we take the time to say, I got to send Dave an email and let him know about Harry Dent's recent, you know, most recent end of world prediction. Like, well, it's a ditto of last year and the year before and the year before and the year before. And the year before. Well, what do you think, though? I don't think anything of it. Why would I read a guy that's wrong all the time? Why do I care? And the answer is we have to, at some point, we have to pull away and go, this is absurd. I am wasting my time. I'm taking up file space in my brain, and I'm running my emotions, which now puts another weight on my back of what should I be doing with my investments, when the real answer is nothing. Leave it alone. I'm not picking on Wall Street. I'm just simply saying they don't know. And the more we sit there, what the future is going to be, they don't know. And they're wrong more than they're right. Again, another really good reason why I shouldn't even listen. If I can't discern little bits of pieces, you know, and parts of what they're saying, and most people can't. You just don't have the financial background to go, well, that's a crock. What he's saying there is absolutely not even true. We're done. Or, okay, I don't expect him to be 100% right, but that's a really good point he made about, let's say, interest rates. You know, some cause I hadn't thought about that might be pushing on interest rates. It's like somebody being a little bit transparent and saying, you know, we can't know because we can't know what technological developments are going to come. But here's what I'm seeing on the technology side. The real question is it priced into the market and so on and so forth? Or are we, because it's not a question we're going there. It says it already priced in. Those are more thoughtful. Okay? So it's not that you can't get some thought out there. All right. All those disclosures aside, Wall Street was so far wrong. Economists were so far wrong. And big firms are running around telling people with real certainty. And I mean, they're telling financial professionals. We think the S&P is going to be at 3,200. And it's not like, oh, we were a little off. No. 4,700 is a lot off. But they did all the math and told us all the reasons why. And the math doesn't even really make sense. So what happened? Well, the world didn't work out exactly the way everybody thought, like always. But when we allow that, does that mean then we're sitting on cash because we're pretty sure the market's going to go down? Or did we go ahead and take advantage of what was right in front of us, which was tech stocks were creamed in 22? The biggest, best, most powerful companies in the world that dominate were off a minimum of 30%, some 70%. I don't want to own that because I just heard Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, UBS, everybody told me that you can't own those stocks right now. Now, I'll keep what I've got, but I'm not going to add to it. You see the poison that is? And we go and we do this. And so we have to stop and go, hey, before I talk about in the next hour, 24, as if I have any idea what's really going to happen, let's put like a giant disclaimer on this thing, okay? And let's just talk gently about stuff, humbly about what's going on. Let's just talk about what is in front of us. So as we look back last year, and we look back the year before, and we say, you know, everybody was sure at the beginning of 23, that the 60-40 model was dead. Why? Because bonds had their worst year in 22 ever. Now, I don't know why this is a surprise when you are sitting at, you know, 1.5 to 2% 10-year treasuries, that at some point in time, you're going to have a miserably bad bond year, meaning interest rates goes up and your bond portfolio is crushed. Okay? Think of a teeter-totter. Interest rates up, the price of those bonds collapses. We can go into bonds at another time. It's not important to take the off-ramp right now. It was the worst year ever for bonds. And now after that, the genius strategists at Schwab or TD Ameritrade, JP Morgan, etc., tell you the 60-40 is dead. No, it died. Now it's time to go ahead and think about it. I'm not saying a 60-40 is a great portfolio. Maybe it's 70-30. Maybe it's 80-20. But now, for the first time in 15 years, we can own bonds. Oh, but a 60-40 was the way you always did it, you know, because you needed to have 40% that was earning less than inflation. Guaranteed to earn less. Won't work, but we have to own it. Why? Because that's what I was taught in, you know, finance. I'm a finance major, you know. I work for a major bank. These things we know. Okay, well, perhaps you should ask your third grader. I think they would tell you putting 40% of your portfolio in something guaranteed to lose to inflation is probably not a winning strategy. They may not know what a winning strategy means, but hey, they can do the math. We get stuck. It's important to understand that we get stuck and the strategists get stuck, and then we hear lots of noise from the really smart people that are going to help us divine the future. No, they're not. No, they're not. We don't know the future. So we have to look at the ground conditions. So what do you do in the middle of last year when you're supposed to be really, really, really afraid because finally we're having the recession? Finally. I think it's Morgan Stanley, who had been negative all year, decided that, hey, you know what? We're all in. We're all in. Well, thanks very much. That's great. And then, of course, the market goes south. We almost get back to have no gains for the year until a fourth quarter that is amazing. It was epic. An amazing fourth quarter to have an amazing year. But you see how quickly things change, how quickly they happen, and how quickly people flip to pretend to be on the right side of particular trades instead of reacting to what the ground conditions are. All right, I got to take a quick break. When we come back, hopefully you'll join us. 580-KIDO. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Okay, so we're about, in the next hour, we're going to talk about 24, right? And I'm trying to set this up with our 2023. And I mean this with, I totally mean this. Bottom of my heart, I don't know what's going to happen in 24. Sorry. I know everybody wants a prediction. They want to know what's going to happen in 2024. Or, like, directionally, this is what's going to happen. We don't know. And what happens in an election year? Lots of things happen, right? But most likely what's going to happen is some kind of nut job is going to be elected as president of the United States. Incompetent or nut job. That's what the polling is now. So that's not comforting. But then on the other hand, they'll tell you that the market usually goes up during, oh, come on. That's like, you know, in 40 years, we've had 10 elections, guys. 10 data points is not something to hang a hat on, but Wall Street does. Whatever we can mumble about, like we're great historians, great strategists, we'll mumble about. And so I think it's important, again, as we look at 23, to understand the context of coming into 23 from a bad market. 22 was tough. 23 was good. We're basically where we were. That's where we are. We're not, it's some unbelievable mark we've never been at before. We're back to where we were at the beginning of 22. But you see, the world keeps evolving. Technology keeps improving. and crazy people are still here. But they always have been. And sometimes it's hard to get that in a world that has all of this data coming at you. This strategist is claiming that the end of the world is here. Really? Gosh, that's never happened in the 40 years I've been around. There's more strategists that are sure the world is ending now? Or is it just the volume is amped up a little bit? Like, there's so much of it coming at us, we perceive that there's this collective of more. Or maybe there is more. People that you've never heard of. Joe Jones, the guy that called the 2008 crash. Who's Joe? Who is that? Yeah, me either. I've never heard of him. Never heard of him. It's a crazy thing that we want to clamp onto and grab more data for what we already believe. And 23 was full of that. And what I'm hoping to do is kind of lay out just some thoughts about 24 and thoughts about how we go forward with a portfolio, not just in 24, but the rest of our lives. And to think deeply about that, not just like, well, we think with all of our numbers, we think the S&P is going to be up 6.6%. Who says that? Oh, yeah. UBS just said that. 6.6? Huh? Really? Boy, that's helpful. I mean, yeah, getting down at 0.6. Now, that changes my mind about what I'm going to invest in. Crazy stuff. Absolutely crazy stuff. To think we can define things like that. It doesn't make any sense. We'll talk more. You hear the music. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. First of all, our number, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. That's our number. We'd love to hear from you. As I always say, these are my opinions only. And as we are going to talk about 2024, if somehow some sector, some stock, something comes up, has nothing to do with you and your portfolio. Don't know what your objectives are. It's absurd. Absolutely absurd to think you should deal with investing that is so easy. That a cup of coffee a day, $5 a day for 40 years is $1.1 million. I don't want to mess with it. And buy, 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 sell, 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 buy, 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 sell, sell, sell. All that noise, nah, Further from the truth, not good information at all. All right, we talked about 23. Set it up. We're all set. Okay, 23, we got it. It's in the bag. We don't care anymore. What's going to happen in 24? I don't know. I don't know. Nobody knows. We can't know the future. And if 23 and 22 and 21 weren't great examples of how wrong the consensus is, I just don't know what to say as to why. Well, so many people think the market's going to crash. Okay. Okay. So many people think the market's going to go to the moon. Okay. Which is it? Well, Wall Street thinks it's going to be right here at 8.2%. Really? Do you think it'll do that? Because I can just about guarantee you it won't. It will be off by some magnitude, either greatly like we were the last few years, every year, or it'll be a little bit more in the ballpark. But let's suppose that they say you should really pay attention to, like, value stocks. You should never own tech stocks. And you miss 50% gains in tech stocks. You can't have that back. Do you buy now that they're up 50% when you wouldn't buy them when they were off 50%? What? How does that work? So when we listen to the noise, instead of seeing what the ground conditions are, I think we make a lot of moves that we really regret later or don't even really pay attention to, so we don't actually regret. You know, why are my results so much worse than 10% that the market does? It would be a good, honest question to ask yourself, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? So when we think about the ground conditions now, interest rates are higher, much, much higher than they were a year ago. Maybe I could own some bonds. We're back at all-time highs or near it, near enough to talk about it. I'm going to need some money this year. I need to take out my required minimum distribution sometime this year. And we're going to spend it on a big trip. Okay? Why don't you take it out now? Is that predictive of the market? I don't think so. It just happens to be the market's doing fine. So why not now? If you don't want to take it out now because you're not going to use it for a while, that's a good idea, because why would you put it in the bank and earn zero on it? Okay? But how about we take it out of, you know, this amazing gain that you had last year? And you say, let's trim a little bit. Not sell all stocks because, you know, Doomsday Dent is writing articles about how the end of the world is coming. And Doomsday Dave and Doomsday Danny and Dennis and all the others that are end of worlders. It's always bad. It's always going away. Just this time. It's really true. Okay? It's not an all or nothing. It's more like saying, I am going to need X. Go ahead and move it over. You can get paid for it. Money markets are 5% plus right now. A money market. Well, do I have to tie up that money market? Yeah, for an entire day. Like one day? Yeah, one day. Oh, that's not really tying up money, is it? That's how easy it is to get something on your money. But it's not making a bearish claim. It's saying, hey, we won. What a year we had. What a 5 years we've had. What a 10 years we've had. I need money in the next year. And as we're thinking about that for 24, it's not predictive to say, my goal is cost of living adjusted income all the days of my life that I can't outlive. That's my goal. Okay, then don't tell me what you think about Doomsday Danny. Don't think about why you ought to get on the internet and clickbait everything. Oh, yeah, let's go to that one. Oh, let's go to that website. Oh, my gosh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we want to protect this, protect that. All fear everywhere all the time. And you're sucked in. It's over out. You're no different than a kid that follows TikTok videos all the way into the places they should never go. No different at all. You think you're different, a little smarter. Maybe that's not your problem. Your problem is the doomsday sucks you in. Sucks you in. I'm not making fun. It's a real deal problem out there for people. They can't hang on. They can't see the world clearly. They're caught up in their own worlds, lay over the top of it, any problems and concerns they have, and put it on the whole world. And anger adds to that. Anger doesn't help. And there's a lot of that. There's a lot of noise out there. A whole lot of noise. So we're going to talk about some of the positives as well of what's going on out there and why 2024 might just be a better year than anybody thinks. Or most, the consensus, if you will. If that's your goal, cost of living adjusted income all the days of your life, don't look at everything else. Just focus on that goal. That's the goal. That's my objective. Okay, if that's your objective, you now, for the first time in 15 years, can have part of your portfolio be bonds. That's a big statement. That's just a statement of not being predictive. Interest rates could go higher, and your bond portfolio could go down. But guess what happens when you own 6% yielding bonds? When they mature in 5 years, you get 6% and your money back. Minus inflation, of course. That's what happens. So they could temporarily go down and you could fuss over the prices, and that's okay. I mean, if that's what you like to do, is to just grab that statement, look at it every day. That would be really healthy. That's super healthy. I think people should go on and look at their accounts every single day. And I think what they need to do is line by line go through and pick apart exactly why they should feel bad and why in the world do they own that company. I think that's really helpful. that's really helpful to living a life of abundance, happiness, and joy. Right? It's not. Let's stay focused on our objective, our goal. Okay? And if you like digging in and looking at numbers, that's a totally different ballgame. That's your hobby, your joy. Okay, fine. That's okay. But let's not pretend that that helps you manage your accounts. It does not. It's your hobby. Now, as we go through and we think about this, what we should be focusing on is what we can. So what predictive did we make about 24 about maybe we are allowed to own some bonds? Nothing. Except now we can, for the first time in 15 years, dust off that cabinet of potential investments called bonds, and you can own some. Now, that in that cabinet, there's things like, you know, hey, but I need to have access to money every month. Of course you do. So those would be like money markets. So we're going to put all of that called fixed income, okay? Not just bonds. But they can have longer duration, lower quality, higher quality, shorter duration. All those things can be in that whole category. But once again, this is not all or none. It's a piece. But what I want to say now is that when we are at all-time highs in the market, anytime, and your objective is X, then fulfill that objective. And here's what I mean. If we have a certain to occur over and over again all the days of our lives market correction this year, and it's severe enough and hangs on long enough, like 3 years, like really long. That's really, really, really long. That's double the duration of a bear market on average. Okay? That's really long. Well, I want 5 years or more of my income needs set aside. Because then I never, ever have to sell down. I never do. And again, I'm back to, there's nothing predictive about that. The ground conditions are, we are at all-time highs. I want that in my portfolio. So I'm asked this question all the time. What are you doing for your clients? They have 5 to 10 years worth of income. Wow, that's a lot. You must be really bearish. No, I'm not bearish at all. I'm not bearish at all. I have to protect, always. And when markets are up and it's an okay thing, my objective is you can't run out of money no matter how long you live. Now let's just stop and think about that for a minute. My responsibility, my life's work, my everything is that you can't run out of money. Cost of living adjusted. Whew. So what do you do when you've hit a home run? Well, you take a couple chips off the table, slide it over here. When you can, meaning I'm still able to get 5, 6, 7% in fixed income. I can do that. Well, everything looks terrible. I should have all my money. No, you shouldn't have all your money there. That's not remotely what I'm saying. I'm saying, with the yields that come into a portfolio, the constant rain, we call them dividends, is coming in to your reservoir constantly. It only goes down very slowly. You could end up with 5 or 10 years worth of income having no more than 10 or 15% of your portfolio in fixed income. That's a lot of stocks. You see what I'm getting at? It's not an all or none, but that's where our mind goes. Well, if you're not that bullish on stocks, why do you own any? That's because you don't know. Now you're being an arrogant Wall Street commentator that says that they know what the market's going to do in the future, and you don't. And if it's okay for Warren Buffett not to have a market outlook, it's okay for me. If I don't have a prediction of what the market's going to do, like Warren Buffett doesn't, like Peter Lynch didn't, like John Templeton didn't, that's okay. In fact, it's right. It feels right. It is right for us not to have a market outlook. But it doesn't stop us from saying, look, some areas look so cheap. Maybe we can add to those as fresh cash, also known as dividends, coming into the portfolio. Piece of property sold, where do we put it to work? Generally, it goes into your portfolio. But can we look and see, are there some areas that didn't do as well last year that we might find better bargains, if you will, for the long, long term? And I know that's really why you're tuned in. You want to know what's cheap. Let me start with two things, and then I'll go into what's cheap. First of all, markets don't do normal. This is one of the most important points that you have to learn that people don't seem to learn. And certainly Wall Street doesn't learn. Since 1925, when the S&P was born, almost 100 years. I want you to think about this for a minute. How many times do you think? Now, I already told you the market does 10% a year on average. So let's widen that out to 8 to 12%. 8 to 12, which, by the way, happens to coincide pretty well with exactly what Wall Street says every single year that the S&P will do. UBS is at 6.6. Somebody else is at 8.2. Really? 8.2. Boy, that's so precise. Man, if I only had that supercomputer, wow, I would just be so rich. Such precision about the future is an absurd claim. It really is. And of course, they're absurdly wrong. JP Morgan said the market would be right now at 3,200 a year ago instead of 4,700. Was that helpful? Did you find that helpful to really be that bearish and stay out of the market? They weren't alone. It's not helpful. Are you ready? Six times the market did normal, roughly in the last 100 years. Six times. So more than 90% of the time, the market does anything but normal. And what we predict is normal. That's like saying, I don't want red or black on a roulette wheel. I only go green. Because it never happens. It almost never happens. It's crazy. But we continue to do this every year because that's what seems sensible. More sensible than saying, you know, I think the market's going to go up 20%. Which it's done 30% of the time. Can you imagine that? So what the market usually does is go up a lot. Well, it goes down a lot too. Okay, so here's what you usually get for your predictions for the year. You ready? We get normal. That's Wall Street. And then we get Doomsday, Danny, Dick, Dave, Bob, whoever. Okay? The doomsdayers, the world is coming to an end. I find this the most really ironic thing. We saw this yesterday. It was kind of like the chart jumps out at you and goes, look at those two. Look at those two things. Normal was six times. Minus 20 or more, the big call that the market's going to go down, six times in 100 years. It almost never does that. Almost never does that. And the magic of capturing, you know, a green falling there, it was, oh, wow, I got paid a lot. Okay, good. Did you get back in? Anywhere near the bottom? Or did you stay Doomsday Danny forever? Well, of course you did, because that's who you are. That's who they all are. Six times it does normal. Six more times it does minus 20%. Every other time is down a little or up a lot. Oh, yeah, they have some up littles too. Think about that. We spend all of our time worrying about something that never, almost never happens. And we have multi-million dollar pay package super strategists telling us that normal is going to happen. And it almost never does. Huh. And by the way, it could be perfectly normal year this year. It could be down 20. I don't know. It's just that most of the time it's not. And we spend an awful lot of time thinking about those two things. Interesting. All right, finally, here we go. Okay. Energy looks pretty cheap. Real estate looks pretty cheap. And before you say, whoa, what's going on in San Francisco, see-through office buildings, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about companies that have nothing to do with office buildings. And there's lots of them. See, I don't really understand why all year long until the last quarter, a company like Prologis, which does, you know, like warehouses, keeps going down. Because we hate real estate, and it's the next shoe to drop, and it's going to take down the mid-sized banks, all that stuff, right? Okay, well, we're still waiting for the takedown of all the banks. But I'm sure they're coming, because Doomsday Dent told us it is. All of those things have nothing to do, and therefore this. Doesn't that look like opportunity? Isn't that what opportunity looks like when everybody is running a certain direction and you're like, but that has nothing to do with this, but it affects the price on that. That feels like opportunity. So selective, careful. And does that mean you can't invest in anything else? Of course not. What it means is that throughout the year, just like last year, just like the year before, there's going to be disruptions within the market. The market's not monolithic. Not every stock went up last year 22%. No, it didn't. Some didn't go up at all. Some went down a lot. That doesn't mean come bargains either. They may be on their way out the door. But a lot of them went up 70%, 100% plus. That's just an average. And what we're saying is, are there some areas that were not appreciated, that didn't go up a lot, but were pulled in the direction because of problems, say, within their industry, but not problems for them? That's what I call opportunity. Not much predictive about that. So for those of you looking for where the S&P was going to finish the year, I'm sorry you're disappointed. I didn't even try. I don't have to. We're just going to watch and see and look. And when things that are really great, great corporations, take a break and have a correction, we'll just own more. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436. And if you prefer email, it's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Let's go ahead and go to the phones. Terry, how are you today?
Well, pretty good, Professor. How about yourself?
I'm well. I think you can tell in my voice I'm feeling pretty chipper this morning.
Yeah, even though they got the frost on the golf course, but well, you've got enough money to go wherever you want to go play. So,
we're going to have a great rest of the weekend here. So there you go.
Anyway, when you were talking with young Mr. Miller earlier, you were talking about old folks.
Yeah.
And it struck me, along with a thing I was thinking about last night, about we've just had the luxury of collecting assets over time and figuring out what's important. And it comes down to diversification.
Mm.
You got some a little bit of everything. Takes all the bumps out of it all. Then hire a professional and let them play with it.
Well, and I think that there are some people that really like, you know, I don't know what call it, play in the markets. They want to have their own management of their money. And I don't think that everybody's incapable. I think most people are. I think that there's a small percentage that are dedicate the time and can set aside a little bit of, their emotions, if you will, like a professional does in our industry, right? But I'm afraid that you're right, Terry. I think that most people need to have that kind of assistance. You know, they really do.
Yeah, I just what started it all in my pea brain was I was trying to figure out what was valuable. What is value? And everything from the little bit of Bitcoin to a little bit of stocks to a little bit of bonds, and saying when you've got that, it just sort of smooths out the bumps for the rest of it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. I don't know about the Bitcoin where it comes in there. I'll be honest with you, Terry. I'm not quite understanding it. I still don't. I wish I did better. You know, it's just one of those things that I've never been able to wrap my mind around why it will work. And if I can't, then I'm kind of like, you know, Warren Buffett and Jamie Dimon and others that have said, it seems kind of made up. So I don't know what to do with this thing because I can't value it. You know what I mean?
Jamie Dimon's gone from he'll fire anybody, any of his people that own Bitcoin to now they're going to be one of the major players in the storing of the ETF Bitcoin. So,
yeah.
You know, he's obviously reconsidered something along the line, like saying, "Ooh, there's money to be made here."
Right. Yes. Well, there is, and they're two different things. I know, actually buying Bitcoin or storing whatever digital currency people have are two different things. But I appreciate what you're saying. If they see money in it, that's what their job is to do, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's a better place to put my gambling funds.
Right. There you go. All right, Terry. Well, thank you.
All right. Take care, sir, and I'll loan you a Bitcoin anytime you need one.
All right. Well, yeah, you know, I think somebody did bring one by one time to show me. It was a tenth of one, I think, is what it was. It's a little silver coin or something. What is it made of?
It's made out of electrons on a million of computers around the world.
No, but I mean an actual physical Bitcoin. Don't they actually have some of those? I thought they did.
No. All those are is movie prop kind of things.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. All right. Well, I knew it moved electronically, but I didn't know. So I thought they actually had a representation with what that was. So the little B with the dollar sign is not really a real token.
That's how I lost my first 2 or 3 years of collecting is trying to find one. And then I had to sit down and read the Satoshi's paper and say, oh, wait a minute, this is just a computer program and a network.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Well, I learned something. Thanks. We all did. Well, some people already knew that. All right. Have a good day, Terry. Thank you.
Take care, sir. Good day.
Good day. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetzelFinancial.net. We got to get back on track here. We've got Fox News coming up next. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. That's our number. And if you prefer, it's email. It's Dave at PetzelFinancial.net. So, housekeeping item. So, Jim, to your email, okay, and I could certainly email you back, but it's easy enough just to tell you. I appreciate what you're saying about false ads, people who are saying things that they shouldn't be saying, and there's absolutely the way to handle that is you need to call the station and talk to the manager because I can't do anything about it. If I could, I would have done that for the last 30-some years. There just are people that are going to say things, and they don't have licenses, so they don't have to follow certain rules, or the licenses they have are minimal and really don't have the kind of restrictions. So they can make up and say things that the rest of us can't because we're actually licensed and things like that. So I appreciate it. It is deceptive, and people fall for it, and it's sad. I get wound up. It's like my sweet lady telling me, hey, are you angry today? You know, I'm just wound up. I'm wound up about things. I get a little too wound and I can sound or seem angry and I don't mean to do that. And I don't want to get down this road and get all angry either. It's just, I do. I have a sense of frustration, an overdeveloped sense of frustration with people that deceive people and especially the ones that pick on old people, which is what exactly most all of them do because they're a little bit confused and they're more susceptible, especially those that are alone. So it is something that I get wound about and I try not to too much, but I can't do anything about it. Jim, if I could take the people off the air here that exaggerate or lie or sell fear, I would have done that 35 years ago, but I can't. There's nothing I can do about it. In fact, I was telling Kevin this one time that I almost got kicked out of here some 33 years ago because I had a sense of that I was enraged. And if you can imagine, I was 30 some years younger, what that might have looked like. And it doesn't matter if you're right. And the people did get, I literally got kicked off the air. But I almost got kicked off because I was a jerk. So you got to be, we got to be careful. And that's just the lesson. So anyway, thank you for the comment, Jim. I appreciate where you're coming from. That has to go to the to a different person, okay? All right. Now, that's the housekeeping out of the way, okay? I promised, and I love talking about this, is that we have so many things coming. And, you know, one of the things that the, quote, strategists will do is go back over the year and tell us why something happened. Okay, in other words, we weren't really wrong. Gosh, we just got blindsided by this weird thing that happened, which is what happens every year, which is why it's just really important to go, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen in 24. Don't know what's going to happen in 25. But there are things as we think about things. If you get an opportunity this year, for example, meaning a correction, and you can buy robotics, AI, cybersecurity, genetics at a discount, just go do it. Don't think. React. Because I don't think it's predictive at all to say that these things are cutting edge, they're amazing, they're coming at light speed. And what I mean by light speed really is exponential. AI was zero 12 months ago. Now it's like all the rage and we're just getting started. Do you think in another 12 months that AI will be a little bit better? Or multiples exponentially? What about 2 years from now? Is it like, oh, it'll be like Model 4 and then Model 4 will be a little bit better than 3? No, it won't. It'll be unbelievable. And I don't think those things are predictive. I think that these are trends, and this is what technology does. It just gets cheaper and exponentially, not linear, exponentially better. That's how we react to markets, how we should be. And as we think of healthcare and all the things that are happening, we had, this is just this year. We have these unbelievable weight loss drugs. I mean, they're just unbelievable what they do. It doesn't mean you shouldn't diet and exercise. It doesn't mean that at all. But this is just the beginning, apparently. You know, I'm not a biologist or whatever that we call these folks that are just, I don't know. But I read about it. It's like these things have effects in so many things. So many things. I mean, it's just, it could be for alcohol. Not this exact pill. But what they discovered through these blockers or whatever, where you don't feel hungry, kind of a thing. Our cravings, like, you mean I won't really crave a beer at 5 o'clock? No. Not if you take one of these. Oh, that's interesting. That's a whole new area. You mean I won't crave cocaine? Other drugs? Interesting. Interesting. I mean, what I'm saying is there's just so much more there. And Alzheimer's, just this year, got the first approval of a drug. not one that might help. It's an experiment. This helps. FDA approved. It helps. And Medicare is paying for it for treatments. This year. I wonder what's coming next year on Alzheimer's. I don't know about you, but it's a thing I know a lot of people like me are worried about. I don't want that. Nobody wants it. But there's a great hope for us that there'll be real treatments before it's too late. How about the gene therapy? Isn't that amazing? Just this year, to treat sickle cell, a huge problem in the Black community. A genetically altered gene cures it. There was no treatment. It is deadly, debilitating. This year. And I know for any of you scientists out there and stuff, my goodness gracious, wow. Wow. I know, I'm only just scratching the surface here of what amazing things have been done this year alone. On the backs, the shoulders of all the people that came before. But again, what we miss, I think, is that these things are slow until they're fast. And that's that exponential thing. So we've all seen that kind of that hockey stick ramp of compound interest, right? It goes tick, tick, tick. My account doubled. Who cares? I only had $1,000, became two. Two became four. Four became eight. My gosh, come on. It's nothing. Until the million becomes two, becomes four, becomes 8 million. That's technology. And nowadays, it's not technology that's going to take 7 years to double or 18 months. It's less. Doubling our capability every year is nothing for technology now. You know, I gave this example a few weeks ago now, about what happened with the digital camera. Kodak giving it away. It's a really remarkable story. And then Kodak dies because of the digital camera after giving it away. Because the technology didn't really matter. One pixel. This blurry blob of nothing. Finally became two. Still. I mean, 2 pixels? You can't make anything out of it. Became four. Who cares? 8, 16, 32. Who cares? You could barely make out anything. Not being able to see the ramp coming. Slow, slow, slow. Whew. Gone. The best camera you've ever seen is the one in your pocket. Even if you have an old model. It's a stunning, stunning development. And it's everywhere. And that's the kind of thing we want to get in front of without guessing. And how do you do that? Who's going to win in Alzheimer's? I don't know. Who's going to win in gene therapy? I don't know. Who's going to win in robotics, cybersecurity, the Internet of Things? I don't know. I don't have to. In today's world, we have exchange-traded funds that buy the whole space. It's like, I don't know what's going to win. I don't know where the bad guy is. I'm going to use a shotgun. Okay, there you go. You win. Because these things are running at light speed. They really are. On so many things, we've gone slow, slow, slow. We're heading, I guess they call it the S-curve or something like that. We're heading to the adaptation of these technologies by the broad masses. That's going to get real fast. Don't be lulled in by the slow, slow, slow. We're taking off in a lot of areas real fast right now. Right now. And it's exciting. I know it's frightening. It is. It's both. But when it comes to investing, the economy, the world, our health, all of those things, our understanding of something as simple as sleep, how important it is. No, we all know we wake up grumpy or whatever, but that's not the point. It's way more than that. But we always thought it was just like, I just need a good night's sleep because I can be more productive type of thing. That's true. But it's more. It's more. All right, Paul, I have to take one more break. And so I'm going to do that so I'm not rushing your phone call. And so, yes, we'll be right back with Paul and more Money Matters. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. And, of course, podcasts, articles, calculators to help you with your financial planning. That's over at PetsoFinancial.com. Thank you for all the podcast downloads. Jennifer just told me yesterday, I think it was, we're over 47,000 downloads. It's crazy. It's crazy. Thank you. And let's go to the phones. Paul, thank you for holding. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Dave. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. Too cold to play golf today.
It most certainly is. I know some people will bundle up and go, unless it's snowing, but that's not me. It's too cold for me.
I hear you. Hey, I got a question for you. Now that I was glad to hear that DEI is kind of taking a nosedive, diversity, equity, and all that. So do you think anything's going to happen with ESG?
Same thing. Actually, ESG was first runner to what I think was the peak of stupidity.
Yes.
Where, there's nothing wrong with saying, I really want to, save trees or whatever. That's great. But let's do it in a practical way, a real way, right? Not to, like we're never going to use wood anymore type of a thing. It's just absurd.
And forcing people,
Correct.
Like if you can't get credit in a certain area if you don't comply with these requirements. It's, kind of Orwellian, a little weird.
It is. And it's also Orwellian in the sense of the latest on Wall Street, BlackRock coming out and saying, we're going to vote this way and we're going to not support this. And we think that J.P. Morgan and others shouldn't be lending money to energy places, anybody that drills for energy. That's absurd. Right. That is fascism is what it is. And it's really, really bad stuff. And so as we think about this, that kind of peaked. And there was a huge, huge rise up against Blackstone. And I did it again, BlackRock. And there is a Blackstone. That's why it's important to differentiate. But anyway, there's a huge uprising against them. And they've gone, oh, well, we didn't mean it that way. No. We're just like, we're just making products available or some nonsense. They were trying to do that, and it was bad. It was the first runner to what I think now is DEI, is finding its way. It just overreaches like everybody does, left and right. They overreach and create backlash, and they have.
Yeah, good. Well, I'm hoping it, because I know it was affecting some people, going to a bank for a loan, and they would say, well, are you complying with this, this, and this?
Right.
And they go, well, no, that's not really what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And they, well, we can't loan you any money.
Right.
And, that's stifling trade and all kinds of stuff.
It really is. And it's not effective anyway. And that's why I'd say, we all try to do these things. It's fine. Be all about clean air and all that stuff. But let's be effective about it. Okay. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Paul, thank you so much.
For everybody.
It does. Exactly.
No problem, man.
You have a great rest of the day. Thank you for the call.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye. And of course, we are just about out of time. 24 is upon us. Let's enjoy it. It will be grand and it will be unusual.